Yeah. It's very nice to be here with you all again after quite a long time. And it's very nice to be here on this very auspicious occasion, the appearance day of Lord Balaram. So we all read a few verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, which explain a little bit about the background to the appearance of Lord Balaram, the circumstances under which he appeared, and then we'll explain a little bit about Lord Balaram, who he is, what is his relationship with Krishna, what are a few of his pastimes. We'll try and explain a little bit about that. So, as far as the appearance of Lord Balaram is concerned, that is described in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, chapter 2, Prayers by the Demigods. So, Lord Balaram, he of course, he is Krishna's brother, older brother, little bit older brother, and he is the first expansion of Krishna. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, expands into many, many forms. Unlimited forms, actually. Millions and millions. Srimad Bhagavatam says something like the number of waves in the ocean. So there's no way of calculating that. But there's just practically an infinite number of waves in the ocean. And as far as the expansions of Krishna are concerned, there's actually an unlimited number. Not just millions or billions or trillions. We cannot count. There is no such figure. An infinite number. And even they're on different levels. They're on different levels. Some are complete expansions. There's a whole science, actually. Science of the incarnations. Science of the expansions of the Supreme Lord. It is really very deep. But, in principle, we should understand that there are different types of expansions and on different levels. Some of them are complete, some are partial, some manifest certain particular qualities or attributes of Krishna. Like, for example, a very popular form of Krishna is Lord Narasingadev. Narasingha, half man, half lion. I think you're all probably familiar with Lord Narasingadev a little bit. This picture is there on the altar on the second step, middle step, on our left. That is Lord Narasingadev, half man, half lion. And he is an incarnation of a particular aspect of Krishna's character, particular facet of Krishna's personality. He is an incarnation of Krishna's anger. Other aspects of Krishna's nature are not present, or at least not manifest so much in the personality of Lord Narasingadev, but the anger is there, fully. So that form, Lord Narasingadev, is a very dramatic form of the Lord. Lord Balaram, though, he is the first expansion. As such, he is a complete expansion of Krishna, and really, there is practically no difference between Krishna and Balaram, other than the fact that Balaram came from Krishna and Krishna did not come from Balaram. But in terms of their potencies, their capacities, their power and glory, then there's no real difference. There's no substantial difference. There is one difference which is noticeable, and that is a very interesting difference, that they are of different colors. particularly for us South Africans with our infamous history. That's an interesting point, isn't it? Yes. Lord Krishna is blackish blue. And Lord Balaram is white. When I say white, I don't mean white like me, because I'm not, even though I'm supposedly white, I'm not actually white, am I? Not really. But I mean white, like the colour of Neville's clothes, you see? Something like that. Like some of the devotees here. Actually white as such. So that is a difference between Krishna and Balaram. But in terms of their potencies, their powers, attributes, in terms of their personal characteristics and their personalities, They're not different. Yes, so Balaram then, amongst all these various incarnations and expansions and partial expansions, and even there are parts of expansions, as we said, it's a whole science. So Balaram's very prominent. He's particularly prominent. So therefore, that is acknowledged in our Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that Rama, that is Lord Balaram. Also, it can be taken to be Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Sita, but certainly that can be taken. Are we under attack? Certainly that can be taken to be Lord Balaram. Actually, strictly speaking, Lord Balaram's position is superior to that of Lord Ramachandra. So anyway, that's a little bit of who Lord Balaram is. He's a very, very important person and extremely prominent amongst the different expansions and forms of Krishna. So, when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, in fact, for that matter, any time that Krishna appears in any form, then Lord Balaram appears with him. Like when Krishna appeared as Lord Ram, then Lord Balaram appeared as Lakshman. And more recently, most recently, when Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya, then Lord Balaram appeared as Lord Nityananda. And again, very intimate relationship, very close relationship. Like brothers, transcendental brothers, spiritual brothers, but not ordinary brothers. They're both forms of the Supreme Lord. So, here we'll read a few verses then from the second chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which explains how Lord Balaram appeared. Krishna was to appear as the seventh son, or eighth son of Vasudeva and Devaki. But Devaki's brother Kamsa, he had heard a prediction that eighth child would kill him. So therefore he imprisoned Vasudeva and Devaki. And every year in the prison, they had a child. And Kamsa, who was a great demon, killed all those children, one after the other. He killed the first six. Then Lord Balaram entered the womb of Devaki to be the seventh child. So what happened then is interesting. That's what we'll read about. So I'm going to start reading from verse 4 of the second chapter of the 10th canto. First couple of verses, I'll read the Sanskrit too, and then we'll just read the translations. Ekitam anurundhana gyataya pariupasate hateshu shatsu baleshu devakya ograsenina saptamo vaishnavam dhamma yamanantam prachakshate garbo babuva devakya harshashoka vivardhana. So Kamsa, he was persecuting the relatives and family members of Vasudeva and Devaki, who were to be Krishna's parents. And some of their relatives, some fled, and some began to follow Kamsa's principles and act in his service. After Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena, killed the first six sons of Devaki, a plenary portion of Krishna entered her womb as her seventh child, arousing her pleasure and her lamentation. That plenary portion is celebrated by great sages as Ananta, who belongs to Krishna's second quadruple expansion. So that was Lord Balaram. Ananta is another name for Lord Balaram. And it's interesting to note that Devaki, when the seventh child, who was, and she knew that he was, a form of the Supreme Lord, entered her womb, it aroused her pleasure and her lamentation. This is very interesting. A little bit technical point in Krishna consciousness, that devotees, there are different types of devotees who have different types of attitudes towards the Supreme Lord, depending on the nature of their personal relationship with Krishna, and how Krishna reveals himself to them, how they see Krishna like that. So on a lower level, there are devotees who they clearly understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not an ordinary person like us at all. He is God. And God is great. He is the greatest. So those devotees then who recognize and have a relationship with Krishna in those terms, their attitude towards Krishna is one of extreme respect, because he is God. And God is so great, and we are so small. So they're extremely. The mood is one of awe and reverence. However, Krishna is not just great, but he is a person. He has a personality. And as the devotees, many devotees at least, as they get to know him on a personal level and appreciate his personality and interacting with him, and he is interacting with them in personal ways and loving ways, then those devotees who get to know Krishna on a more personal level, then they are struck very, very much by his personality and his affectionate dealings with them, loving dealings. In fact, those loving dealings that Krishna has and his personal expressions of care and concern and affection for his pure devotees, that is so striking that those devotees, they appreciate that more than his greatness. It becomes more prominent. Becomes more prominent in their dealings with him than just the conception of how great he is. Rather, they're seeing how wonderful he is, how nice he is, how loving he is, and how wonderful it is to deal with him in very personal ways like that. So, there are different types of relationships one can have with Krishna. Even one, like we've mentioned here, Vasudeva and Devaki, they have a relationship in which they have adopted or been given the position of being parents to God. Of course, no one can actually be the parent of God. We have our parents. And that is not unreasonable. But God, who can be the parent of God? That's not possible, by definition. However, in order to exchange loving feelings and have loving relationships with his devotees, then Krishna places them in such positions and relates with them as if they were actually his parents. For the sake of loving dealings. And others are his friends. And others, even like Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radharani is his conjugal lover in a pure spiritual sense. not in the slightest mundane as we would understand or have experience of such things, but in completely pure spiritual sense. So these are very intimate, personal relationships that one can have with Krishna. And as one enters such a relationship and becomes absorbed in that and experiences what a wonderful, loving person Krishna is, then that experience overshadows whatever experience one may have of his greatness. So here, in this context, we read that when Devaki realized that her seventh child, who was now present within her womb, was actually a form of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So she had two contradictory emotions. One was pleasure. She was very happy. The Supreme Lord is accepting me as his mother. How fortunate I am. How wonderful that is. But at the same time, she felt some mood of lamentation. That is in the mood of mother, in the more like strict sense of being mother, that any mother, if she knows that there is some threat to her child, she'll naturally feel very concerned and lament. So, in one sense, understanding that this seventh child is the Supreme Lord, she thought this is very wonderful, appreciating her good fortune. But in another sense, so that is in the mood of awe and reverence and respect for God. But then in the mood of mother, she felt some maternal concern. Oh, he is going to be my child? But as soon as he is born, there'll be great danger for him. He may be killed like the other six children. So of course, God, Krishna, cannot be killed. But see, she is kind of in a borderline position between these moods of awe and reverence and the intimate mood of motherly relationship. She is in between. So she's feeling these two contradictory emotions. Anyway, of course, she doesn't have to worry. Lord Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has everything under control. So he then proceeds to make his appearance. But that again is in a most extraordinary way. Let us just read the following few verses. To protect the Yadus, that is the family of Vasudeva and Devaki, to protect the Yadus, his personal devotees, from Kamsa's attack, the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, the supreme soul of everyone, ordered Yoga Maya as follows. Yoga Maya is the personal spiritual energy of the Lord, who makes arrangements and facilitates different pastimes of the Lord. So Krishna is going to ask Yoga Maya to facilitate the pastime of the appearance of his first expansion, Balaram, in a very special way. The Lord ordered Yoga Maya, "Oh, my potency, who are worshipable for the entire world, and whose nature is to bestow good fortune upon all living entities, go to Vraja, where there live many cowherd men and their wives. In that very beautiful land, where many cows reside, Rohini, the wife of Vasudev, is living at the home of Nanda Maharaj. Other wives of Vasudev are also living there incognito, because of fear of Kamsa. Please go there." Of course, there's another interesting point here. Vasudev and his wife Devaki are in prison. But as it happens, Vasudev has more than one wife. Yes. In fact, he has a number of wives. In Vedic times, this is not terribly unusual. And a husband, qualified husband like Vasudev, was able to maintain many wives. And qualified ladies like those wives were able to coexist without fighting or anything like that. And, you know, the reason, there's a reason for that. Not because the female population maybe, or may have been perhaps, a lot bigger than the male population. I have heard in the past that that is the case here in Cape Town. Is that correct? Anyway, we won't get into that. But the reason why some men in Vedic times had more than one wife, and even sometimes quite a number, was because it was very common in those days, particularly for men, to leave home and go to the forest or go to some ashram and just completely renounce things. Yeah. It was very common in those days. To the point that you had like this large number of ladies, more than the men, at least, who were left. Yeah. So like this, Vasudev was one of the people, one of the men who had a number of wives. One of them was Rohini. Rohini actually is particularly, she is also an eternal associate of the Supreme Lord. And she is particularly associated with Balaram. She is eternally the mother of Balaram. But here, Balaram is now in the womb of Devaki. So how will it work out that he will appear as the son of Rohini, which is their relationship, and how it always works? So, Krishna discusses this here then with Yogamaya. Within the womb of Devaki is my partial plenary expansion, known as Sankarshan or Shesha. Without difficulty, transfer him into the womb of Rohini. Again, this is Balaram. Balaram has many names. Here he's referred to as Sankarshan, Shesha, previously as Ananta. These are all names for Lord Balaram. Okay, so now let us see. Again, Krishna is addressing Yogamaya. The son of Rohini will be celebrated as Sankarshan because of being sent from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. He will be called Rama because of his ability to please all the inhabitants of Gokula. And he will be known as Balabhadra because of his extensive physical strength. Yes. So, Yogamaya is going to arrange the transfer of Balaram from the womb of Devaki into the womb of Rohini. When the child of Devaki was attracted and transferred into the womb of Rohini by Yogamaya, Devaki seemed to have a miscarriage. Thus, all the inhabitants of the palace loudly lamented, "Alas, Devaki has lost her child." So, this is something of a detail, but it's a very interesting detail. How? Because Lord Balaram is eternally accepting that role as if he were the son of Rohini. So, even though he initially appeared in the womb of Devaki, but Yogamaya, the Lord's spiritual energy, arranged for him to be transferred into the womb of Rohini, and thus it appeared that the 7th pregnancy of Devaki had mysteriously, very mysteriously, ended in a miscarriage. And mysteriously, Rohini suddenly became pregnant and almost immediately gave birth to a son, Balaram. Yeah, he's known as Sankarshan to the point that he quickly left the womb of Devaki and then entered the womb of Rohini. So Lord Balaram then, he appeared as Krishna's older brother. They're both incarnations of the Supreme Lord. They're both the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. But they are relating together as brothers. And as Krishna and Balaram carried out their pastimes in Vrindavan, and after they left Vrindavan, they went to Mathura, then they went to Dwaraka. Krishna and Balaram had so many wonderful pastimes. In Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the most authoritative of all transcendental literatures, Srimad Bhagavatam is particularly focusing on Krishna himself, not so much on Lord Balaram, because Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Balaram, of course, is very important, but he is the first expansion. Krishna is more important. So we find, generally, Srimad Bhagavatam is focusing on Krishna. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are a number of pastimes. There are a number of pastimes in which Balaram is more prominent. And we could just mention a few of these this evening. For example, when Krishna and Balaram were living in Vrindavan, that means up till they were about 11 years old or so. So, during that period of time, many demons came to kill, particularly to kill Krishna and Balaram. But generally, Krishna was the focus of most of the attention. So many demons came, practically every day. Here in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is description of about 22 such demons who came one after the other. There was more. There was a lot more. But the Bhagavatam is particularly describing the main ones. Now, out of that 22 or so, 20 of them were killed by Krishna. And 2 of them were killed by Balaram. The 2 who were killed by Balaram, one was Dhenukasura. He was, believe it or not, in the form of a gigantic donkey. Yes. Mystical demon. Able to assume, through mystical powers, able to assume any type of form at will. So he had assumed that form. Gigantic mystical donkey. Then the other demon killed by Lord Balaram, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, killed in Vrindavan, that was Pralambasura. So then, outside of Vrindavan, pastimes that Lord Balaram is more prominent in, they are pastimes like, for example, Lord Balaram, after he and Krishna left Vrindavan, they were living, eventually they went to Dwaraka. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they were lamenting so much that Krishna and Balaram, they have left us. Will we ever see them again? So, Lord Balaram returned to Vrindavan. There's a very nice chapter in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam which describes Lord Balaram's return to Vrindavan and how he interacts with the inhabitants of Vrindavan and reminds them of Krishna. Another nice incident that takes place while Krishna and Balaram are living in Dwaraka is the incident of Lord Krishna kidnapping Rukmini. Rukmini is one of the wives of Krishna. In fact, she is the chief wife of Krishna in Dwaraka. There was an arrangement. There was an arrangement that Rukmini would be married to Shishupal, who was not a very nice person. He was not a devotee. He was nothing. Compared to Krishna, he was nothing. Or extremely little. And actually, he was a demon also. So Rukmini, who was a great devotee, she had no interest in marrying Shishupal, but she was being forced, particularly by her brother, Rukmi. And by the influence of Rukmi, her father also was forcing her, and there was nothing she could do. But she appealed to Krishna, please save me from this. And I want to marry you. So Krishna came, and he kidnapped her right out of the wedding arena. It was very dramatic and very thrilling. Yes. In fact, believe it or not, I mean, there are a few believe it or nots. There's always a few believe it or nots to do with Krishna. So believe it or not, this is an official style of marriage, according to the Vedic system, kidnapping. Now, we don't want to encourage anything here, so just, you know, the times have changed, and we should not try to adopt these practices under today's circumstances. But according to the Vedic system, for the warriors, For the warriors, it was an official method of marriage. You could just come riding in, swinging in, grab one of the princesses, and off you go. And Krishna did that. He did that. Very dramatic scene. And Rukmi, he did not appreciate that at all. So he gave chase to Krishna. And there was a battle. And Krishna, he was going to kill Rukmi. But Rukmini, the sister of Rukmi, there was some family feelings there. And so she didn't want that. And Krishna, recognizing that, Krishna decided not to kill Rukmi. But he decided to have a little fun at Rukmi's expense. So he decided to give him a, you know, maybe you could say something like an avant-garde haircut. He started slicing away with his sword some of Rukmi's beard and hair. So Rukmi, this is now 5,000 years ago, he looked perhaps a little bit like a forerunner of the punk rockers or people of that sort, who have bits of hair sticking out and bald patches in other places and whatever it may be. So he looked very odd. And he was a Kshatriya, he was a warrior. And for a warrior to be embarrassed like that, oh, this is practically intolerable. Many of them would actually prefer to be killed rather than have to walk in and say, well, here I am, looking like some sort of fool. Yeah. So Rukmini was very upset. And this was their wedding day, so to speak. So it was not a very good start to their marriage. Then Lord Balaram came. Now Lord Balaram, even though he and Krishna, they're the same, as we mentioned. They're the same person. They're not two different people like us. We're all different individuals. But Krishna and Lord Balaram, they're not really different individuals. They're the same person, but he's appearing in two forms and adopting two roles. So Lord Balaram, his role is, he's the older brother. Yes, that is his role in these pastimes. So older brother means he's senior. And when the younger brother, if the younger brother sometimes gets into a bit of trouble, then the older brother may have to act something like the father even. At least in India, that's very traditional. So definitely the older brother has senior position. So Lord Balaram, he arrived on the scene and saw here is Rukmi looking, you know, looking quite sort of disfigured. And there is Krishna thinking this is a bit amusing. And there is Rukmini, who is not amused. In fact, she is disturbed, actually, that her brother, who's a very proud young man, has been embarrassed in such a way. So Lord Balaram, as the older brother, immediately could understand, this is not very good for their relationship. So Lord Balaram, acting as the older brother, in the mood of the pastime, in the mood of the relationships, Lord Balaram decided to do a little bit of reconciliation. Yes. This is a very nice pastime of Lord Balaram's, in which he exhibits his older brotherly nature. So, Lord Balaram, he chastised Krishna. What have you done? This Rukmi, he may be whatever he may be, but now he's your brother. He's your brother-in-law. You cannot treat a brother-in-law like this. This is very bad. To embarrass him like this is practically worse than killing him. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't have done this. Krishna was a little taken aback. Rukmini felt, yes, quite right. So she's now feeling a little bit better. But then Lord Balaram, being very expert as the older brother, Lord Balaram, he turned to Rukmini and said, well, you know what it's like in the material world. Whatever happens to you, it's just your karma. What can you do? You cannot blame
the person through whom your karma has just come, who has been like the via medium for you to receive your karma from your own previous activities. So don't blame Krishna. Don't blame Krishna. It was just your brother's karma that he would end up in this foolish type of situation. And Rukmini, she realized, oh yes, well, that's true. And then Lord Balaram turned to Krishna again and said, Krishna, how could you do this? For our family, our honorable family, to become implicated in some demeaning activity like this, I feel very bad. You will bring a bad name upon our family. And just consider poor Rukmi. He is now our relative. And when a relative does something wrong and makes a bit of a fool of himself, then you don't have to sort of rub it in and tell him, oh, you made a fool of yourself, just look at what you did. No, just the fact that he realizes, oh, I made a mistake, just that is enough with a relative. You don't have to lecture him or beat him over the head with it. Just the fact that he knows that he's made a mistake, that's enough. But look what you've done here. And again, Rukmini was thinking, yes, he shouldn't have done that. But then Lord Balaram turned to Rukmini again and said, well, these two, they're Kshatriyas. They're warriors. And you know what Kshatriyas are like. They're always fighting. And when they fight, oh, they just get completely into it. They may even fight with their own family members if there appears to be a good reason for a fight. And even they may kill each other. This is the way of Kshatriyas. What can you do about these people? And Rukmini thought, yes, it's true. Kshatriyas are just like that. And then Lord Balaram, he told Rukmini, and I mean, don't forget, your brother, he wanted you to marry Shishupal, right? And Rukmini thought, oh yes, that was very bad. That was extremely bad. So you can see Balaram was sort of bringing her around very expertly. And then to finish off his reconciliation, Lord Balaram said, and after all, we're not these bodies. So it doesn't really matter what happens. It doesn't really matter what you look like. And he's not really your brother. We're all eternal spirit souls. Our relationships in this lifetime, they're not real. So we shouldn't identify with them too much. And Rukmini had to acknowledge, yes, that's true. So Rukmini was completely pacified by Lord Balaram, who is the expert, older brother. Krishna, from time to time, gets into trouble, and Lord Balaram has to step in sometimes to help. Later, there was an incident where Rukmi, one of his daughters, I think, one of his children anyway, was to marry one of Krishna's children. Even though Rukmi hated Krishna, and he could never get over this, how Krishna came and kidnapped his sister and embarrassed him like that. It was just too much. He couldn't get over it. But still, out of affection for his sister, he allowed this to happen, that one of his children marry one of her children. But there, he decided, let us have a little fun at Balaram's expense. So, instigated by some friends, Rukmi challenged Balaram to a game of dice. It's actually gambling, a form of gambling, throwing dice and making wagers and so on. So first of all, they made some wager. They threw the dice. Rukmi won. One of Rukmi's friends, the king of Kalinga, laughed. He had what you might call protruding upper teeth. And he laughed and displayed these teeth very prominently. And Balaram noted that. So then the next round, Balaram won. But Rukmi, somehow or other, by fast talking and being tricky, he was able to nullify that. And Balaram was really angry. Then they had the next round. And again Balaram won. But again Rukmi tried to be very tricky. However, a mystical voice came out of nowhere, out of the sky, and proclaimed that Balaram has won. Still Rukmi, he tried to talk his way out of it and wheel and deal. And his friends were all agreeing, yes, yes, yes. Actually, Rukmi won. You lost, Balaram. Balaram was very angry. Then Rukmi went one step too far. Because, you know, Krishna and Balaram, they are brought up in Vrindavan as cowherds. And although now they're in a royal family and very prominent, extremely prominent in the royal order, but still their background was that they were brought up in cowherding family, which is lower than the royal order. So as Rukmi was trying to get out of having lost that throw of the dice, and as his friends were trying to back him up, and the king of Kalinga was laughing and displaying his teeth again, then Rukmi went one step too far and he said, you know, I understand you're expert at herding cows, so maybe you should just go back to doing that and leave these types of activities for us members of the royal order. Why don't you do that? So he was trying to insult Lord Balaram. That was too much. So Lord Balaram picked up his club and smashed him on the head. And that was the end of Rukmi. Goodbye, Rukmi. And then the king of Kalinga, he decided, oh, better make a speedy exit. So he ran. The Lord Krishna, Lord Balaram ran after him, grabbed him, and smashed out his teeth with his club, all of his teeth. Then Lord Balaram smashed all the friends of Rukmi. When Rukmini saw her brother being killed like that, because there was some family attachment, in a sense, she was quite distressed. Krishna, though, Krishna was there. Krishna very carefully displayed no emotion, neither in favor of Rukmi having been killed. In other words, he didn't act like he was supporting Balaram, neither displaying any type of dissatisfaction as if he was supporting Rukmini. He just remained nonchalant. So, yes, so here's Balaram again. Balaram, that name, Bala. Bala means strength. And Rama means spiritual pleasure. He is the great source of spiritual strength, of all types of strength, actually, and all types of pleasure, but particularly spiritual. That is Lord Balaram. So Lord Balaram, he's a very interesting character. You know, there are many, many things. There are all these other pastimes that I mentioned also that we could talk about. But there's another very important point I want to make about Lord Balaram. That is about the type of relationship he has with Krishna. Now, as we said, he is the first expansion. He is directly Krishna. There's practically no difference at all. And he is the first expansion, and he acts in the role, generally, of elder brother. Not always elder brother, sometimes younger brother. As I said, when Krishna appears as Ram, Balaram appears as Lakshman. And Lakshman is the younger brother, the first brother. There are others. He's the first brother, but he's younger brother. And there's some interesting stories to do with that. That Lakshman, when he and Ram were having their pastimes, then they went out into the forest for some time. One time, Sita saw a deer, very beautiful deer. She asked Ram, please catch it. I would like it as a pet. So Ram went to catch the deer, but actually it was a mystical demon who wanted to lure Ram away so that Ravana could kidnap Sita. So Ram went to catch the deer and told Lakshman, you stay here and guard Sita. So after Ram had been lured some way away, that mystical deer called out, imitating the voice of Ram, saying, Lakshman, help! Please come immediately, help me! But it wasn't Ram. So Lakshman heard that and thought, oh, and Sita also, something has happened to Ram. So Sita told Lakshman, you must go immediately and save Ram. Lakshman said, but no, I gave my word I would stay and guard you. But Sita was insisting, you have to go. Or is it that you want him to die so you can have me? What a situation. So Lakshman was really caught. So then he thought, all right, I'll just go. And then Ravan came and kidnapped Sita. So when they came back, he and Ram came back, Sita was not there. And, oh, Ram got so angry with Lakshman for disobeying him. And Lakshman was thinking, you know, what am I meant to do? I'm the younger brother. First of all, I have to stay and protect Sita. I can't say no. And then when she orders me to go, I have to go. So either way, I lose. So he was thinking, being the younger brother is no good. Then later, when Ram rescued Sita, then there was some doubt about Sita, in the sense that she had been living there in the palace of Ravana for some months. And Ram, he wanted her, well, she offered to prove her chastity and purity. She offered to walk through fire to prove that she was completely untainted despite having lived there for some time. So Ram agreed, all right. And then he told Lakshman, you build the fire and make sure it's a good fire. So he had to build the fire and light the fire. And all the time he was thinking, why me? It's because I'm the younger brother. Then later, right at the end, Ram decided to banish Sita. So what did he do? He told Lakshman, just take her out into the forest, leave her there. And Lakshman said, well, she's not going to go with me if I tell her that I'm just going to leave her there. So Ram said, no problem, don't tell her. Just say that let's go for a ride in the forest. And then when you get out there, then you leave her there. But Lakshman said, well, she won't get off the chariot if I tell her I'm just going to leave her there. Ram said, no problem, don't tell her. just tell her to go have a walk in the forest and then just go. And again, Lakshman was thinking, why me? Why do I have to do all these things? It's because I'm the younger brother, that's why. So then Lakshman took a vow. Next time, I will not be the younger brother. Next time, I will be the older brother. So then he appeared as Balaram. So in their relationship, they have a very special relationship, actually. It's very, very interesting that even though Balaram, he is the immediate first expansion of Krishna, who is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no one above or beyond him. So how great is Balaram? He's very great. Very great. And so worthy of worship. Such a respectable personality. So what position does he take then? Does he then say, okay, I am the Supreme Lord, first expansion, I'm very great, so here I am, you can all worship me. No. He does not like to accept that position of being worshipped as the Supreme Lord. Even though he's quite due that. Lord Balaram, he cherishes the position of being Krishna's servant. So even though he's the Supreme Lord, he's so great, but he is always acting as a devotee. Yes. He's always serving Krishna. Yes, he has understood this point, that to serve is better than being served. Yes. Much nicer. So he's always serving Krishna. And he serves Krishna in many ways. First of all, he expands into the different rasas. the different types of relationships that people may have with Krishna. There are five main rasas or types of relationship that one can have with God. There's a neutral relationship, like an animal. An animal in relation to God has a neutral type of relationship. Then there's a relationship as servant, where it is master to servant and formal type of relationship like that. Then third, above that, more intimate, is relationship of being friend. Then above that is the relationship of being parent of Krishna, like Vasudev Devaki we've mentioned, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda. Then above that, the topmost rasa relationship one can have with Krishna is a conjugal relationship, as in the case of Radharani with Krishna or Sita with Ram. So Lord Balaram expands himself into all those relationships. So in the conjugal relationship, he expands himself as Ananga Manjari. She is Radharani's younger sister. And in that form, that is Balaram. But he has assumed that form to serve Krishna in the conjugal relationship. Then he himself is in the parental relationship. He himself is in a friendly relationship at the same time. Then Lord Balaram expands himself, for example, in a neutral type of relationship. He expands himself and he becomes Krishna's shoes. So he always gets Krishna's lotus feet on his head. He expands himself as Krishna's clothes, as Krishna's Brahman thread, as Krishna's bed, as Krishna's chair, as Krishna's house, and even as the Goloka Vrindavan plant. Very amazing. He wants to serve Krishna. So he's assuming all these forms to serve Krishna in different ways. Then he expands himself into Sankarshan and Mahasankarshan in the Vaikuntha realm. That is another part of the spiritual kingdom. And there he expands himself as Ananta. And he supports all the spiritual planets. So that Krishna, when he expands himself to enjoy pastimes on all those different spiritual planets, then they're being supported by Balaram. Then he expands himself again as Mahavishnu, from who this whole material realm comes. Then Mahavishnu expands himself as Garbhadakshay Vishnu. He is within each universe. Then Garbhadakshay Vishnu expands himself as Shiradakshay Vishnu, who is the super soul in the heart of every living entity. And actually, Andantarasta Paramanu Chayantarastam, Lord Brahma says, the super soul is within every atom in this material world. And then on top of that, he expands himself as Shesha in the material world, and he supports all the universes. So just see, Lord Balaram is doing quite a bit of service, right? For Krishna. And that's what he enjoys. He doesn't want to stand around being God with all people coming and saying, oh, you're God, how wonderful you are. Let me bow down before you. He doesn't like that. He wants to get into it and do some service. Yes. Because that position of being the servant is the most wonderful position.